This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I am World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Violence is shaking the world today, whether a terrorist attack in France or war in Ukraine. In many places around the world, the violence is caused by those claiming to act in the name of Islam. But in the West in general, and the United States in particular, there is a reluctance to tie terrorism to radical Islam. Author Robert Spencer has been warning of the dangers of radical Islam for years. His latest book, The Arab Winter Comes to America, warns that American officials are in deep denial about the threat. Ethnic and nationalist pressures erupted into open warfare in the nation of Ukraine as Russia seized the Ukrainian province of Crimea and is backing separatists in eastern Ukraine. The violence has left Lutherans on both sides of the battle lines. Alexander Navratsky, a Ukrainian with the Lutheran Church of Canada, speaks to World Lutheran News Digest about the conflict's impact on Lutherans in that part of the world.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Three Islamic terrorists raided the offices of a French satirical magazine this week. The terrorists murdered 10 magazine staffers, a maintenance man, and a police officer. The killers claimed they were avenging the magazine's satirical portrayal of Muhammad. Although the terrorists initially fled the scene, one later surrendered to authorities, and two were killed in a shootout with French police. This coming Friday, January the 16th, is Religious Freedom Day in the United States. This day was first proclaimed in 1993 by President George H.W. Bush and has been reaffirmed ever since by Presidents Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. The day commemorates the passage in 1786 of the Virginia Statute on Religious Freedom. This statute guaranteed religious freedom to all in Virginia, allowing all people to express their religious views and preventing government from using tax money to support any particular religion. When the U.S. Constitution was adopted in 1789, the Virginia Statute was used by the framers as the model for the First Amendment. Religious freedom took another hit in the People's Republic of China last month. The central government is set to publish what it calls a list of sanctioned religious venues. The State Department of Religious Affairs says that it will include the names and addresses of all recognized Buddhist and Taoist venues. It makes no reference of Christian churches, although there are conflicts, such as whether the government or the Vatican can appoint Roman Catholic bishops. Also, some officials have ordered the removal of crosses from Christian churches and banned Christmas symbolism. Unsanctioned religious institutions are officially considered cults by the central government. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod notes that partnerships that began with the Lutheran Malaria Initiative are now making the response to West Africa's Ebola crisis easier, an unanticipated benefit of the project. Bishop Amos Pillay of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia says, in his words, "With our experience in doing the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, we had no problem organizing an Ebola relief project to assist the church and people of Liberia." Bishop Pillay said that with support from the LCMS and Lutheran World Relief, the ELCL is readily able to provide relief supplies to churches, hospitals, and quarantine centers in Liberia in response to the crisis. The Wall Street Journal reports that European churches are rapidly closing because of declining membership. A Church of England closes about 20 churches a year, about 200 churches in Denmark have been deemed non-viable, and the Catholic Church in Germany has closed 515 churches in the last 10 years. In the Netherlands, Catholic officials say that two-thirds of that country's 1,600 churches will close within the next decade, while Protestant faiths are expected to lose about 700 churches in the next 4 years. In contrast, Islam is growing in Europe, thanks largely to immigration and a higher birth rate among Muslim families. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's
bear.
What we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live streaming archive.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Idhe Loga Lutheran Varta Parivadi Agunu. Ya Vishwa Lutheran Samachar Hai.
Change in the Middle East started in 2010 as popular movements overthrew dictators and monarchs in the Arab world. Western leaders greeted the change as Arab Spring in the hope that the old authoritarian regimes would be replaced by democracies. But instead of democracies, militant Islamic fundamentalists seized powers in many countries. Robert Spencer, author and outspoken critic of militant Islam, says the West is in denial about the threat. He says this is especially true of President Obama regarding the Islamic State, which has risen in Syria and Iraq.
Barack Obama said that the Islamic State had nothing to do with Islam and did not represent any religion. This is the same denial and the same willful ignorance that the book is all about.
Spencer says official policy of the United States is that the Muslim religion has nothing to do with the rise of violence committed in its name.
We have an administration in the United States today that is committed as a matter of policy to denying that Islam has anything to do with the violence committed in its name all over the world. And this kind of policy is dangerous.
This policy is dangerous on a number of levels, he says.
It's misleading, it's wrong, it's false, it's willfully ignorant, and above all, it prevents us from being able to deal properly with the jihad threat, because you cannot defeat an enemy you do not understand.
Spencer says that despite claims to the opposite, forced conversion and subjugation of non-Muslims is part of that religion.
Other than that, all the main schools and sects of Islam, all the various schools of law, and the various groups, even the Sufis, teach warfare against unbelievers and the necessity ultimately to subjugate unbelievers under the rule of Islamic law.
While Spencer recognizes that most Muslims do not adhere to the philosophy of war against non-Muslims, those who do are on solid Islamic theological ground.
Other than that, all the main schools and sects of Islam, all the various schools of law, and the various groups, even the Sufis, teach warfare against unbelievers and the necessity ultimately to subjugate unbelievers under the rule of Islamic law.
Spencer says that many of the Islamic groups operating in the United States are linked to the radical Muslim Brotherhood. He says these groups are responsible for the term Islamophobia, which is used to silence opposition.
Islamophobia is a word that was popularized by Muslim Brotherhood organizations in the United States, particularly the International Institute of Islamic Thought and the Council on American Islamic Relations, groups that are linked to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood.
It's a tactic that is part and parcel of jihad, according to Spencer.
It's a tactic that is used to silence all the critics of Islamic jihad so as to clear away all the obstacles to the advance of that jihad.
He says this tactic has been extremely effective.
And what the idea of it is to intimidate people into thinking that there's something wrong with resisting jihad terrorism, that it's bigoted and racist and hateful to oppose jihad violence. And they want to make people ashamed of doing so. And it's really been remarkably successful.
In fact, Spencer has been barred from travel to the United Kingdom because of his public statements about Islam and violence.
When I was planning to go back in 2013, I was banned by the UK Home Office, and they sent that said that I was not allowed to come into the country because I spoke about how Islam had a doctrine of violence and warfare against unbelievers.
Spencer says that the British government apparently applied a different set of rules for a Muslim cleric who preaches violence against non-Muslims.
Ironically, the week before that I was supposed to go into Britain along with my colleague, Pamela Geller, the British authorities admitted into the country a man named Mohammed Al-Arifi, who is a Saudi sheikh who has said that jihad involves the smashing of skulls and the tearing of infidels limb from limb, and that this is an honor to the believers.
Spencer says he believes that many law enforcement and intelligence people are aware of the danger, but are being hampered by pressure from above.
I mean, see, the problem is that you have this official denial that's right up at the top. And so while there are many mid-level people in government and law enforcement who know what's up, who know what the problem is, and who are deeply committed to protecting Americans and defending Americans from this problem, at the same time, they're stymied by their superiors.
Although governmental intelligence bodies, such as the National Security Agency, have the technical capability to monitor suspect groups, policy prevents them, according to Spencer.
And, of course, all the scandal about the NSA surveillance and the fact that everything, you know, every phone call and every email is being looked at the same time as mosques are being specifically exempted from any kind of surveillance because that would be Islamophobic. It's ridiculous. You're taking the place that would be the most likely source for this kind of activity and ruling it out as being one place that's off limits.
One group that has enormous influence in American affairs, according to Spencer, is the Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CARE.
They're a Hamas-linked Muslim Brotherhood front group. They're the leading Islamic organization in the United States. They're the go-to organization for media that wants quotes about some issue regarding Islam. They are very influential in the Obama administration.
CARE has condemned Islamic violence in the past, but Spencer says he believes the condemnation is only for Western consumption.
They don't deal with the fact that the Islamic State makes a case on Islamic grounds for what it does. They never refute the case that the Islamic State makes. They just say, well, we condemn this, and it seems as if it's more for Western consumption because they don't say anything that would actually convince somebody who believed in the Islamic State to change his mind.
CARE is one of the most prominent groups on the Middle East in the United States. Media and government officials are often advised by them.
And that is just absolutely not on the radar screen for any American officials. And that's what's just so ridiculous about this. They assume that there is no deception, that these people can be taken entirely at face value, even though CARE has been named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas terror funding case, even though CARE is a Muslim Brotherhood organization and the Brotherhood is dedicated, in its own words, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within, even though several CARE officials have been arrested and convicted of terrorism-related activity.
Spencer has some harsh words for the American media.
All these things never seem to register with the mainstream media that consistently quotes CARE officials and identifies CARE as a civil rights organization without ever mentioning the arrests, the co-conspirator status, the ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, nothing. And this is deceiving the American people, and it's dangerous in many ways, particularly because of CARE's influence in the U.S. government.
Spencer says the ultimate goal of these groups is imposition of Islamic or Sharia law on everyone, although Kara denies this.
And see, Sharia is an integral part of Islam. And of course the Islamic supremacist groups like CARE have every intention of bringing Islamic law here. There's just no doubt about that whatsoever. But they can't say that openly to the American people because obviously Islamic law involves the beheadings, the stonings, the amputations, all these things, the systematic denial of rights of women and non-Muslims. And so they can't front for that. They have to obfuscate and deceive.
The Arab Spring is turning into winter worldwide. The rise of groups such as the Islamic State, with its beheading of American journalists, mass murder of surrendered soldiers, taking Yazidi women as sex slaves, and destruction of Christian communities, is just the latest example. And these extremists claim, and may well believe, that they are committing these crimes for God. Jesus warned us this would happen in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 2, when he said, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Jesus in the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest. It's a smirne literanski novosti.
The scourge of war is finding Lutherans on both sides of the battle lines in Ukraine. Alexei Navratsky is the Lutheran Church Canada's missionary to Ukraine. He says it's a difficult time for that country.
Yes, you know, this year was really difficult for Lutheran Church and for all Ukrainian, for all Ukrainian nation.
I spoke with him about the situation in his home country. I asked him how many Lutheran congregations there are in that war-torn region.
Right now we have three large Lutheran unions. That's the German Lutheran Church in Ukraine. It consists of 31 congregations. And Ukrainian Lutheran Church consists about 20 congregations. And our synod Synod of Evangelical Lutheran Churches in Ukraine. It's the smallest one, and it consists of 13 congregations.
During the conflict, Russia annexed Crimea, which was part of Ukraine. There are Lutheran congregations in Crimea that are now under Russian control.
I know for sure that we have 4 Lutheran congregations of our synod in there. And I know about 3 or 4 other Lutheran congregations. So I think it's about 8 up to 10.
Just recently, some contact has been established with the Lutheran congregations in Crimea.
In the beginning, we had no opportunity to visit our churches in Crimea. But now we rebuilt our connection with our congregations in Crimea just a couple of days ago. In the beginning of December, our new elected bishop went to Crimea and visited our churches there.
Although fighting is still intense in eastern Ukraine, where government forces are facing Russian-backed separatists, relative peace now exists along the border between Ukraine and Crimea in the south. Still, travel is very difficult.
It's quite difficult for them to travel to Ukraine right now because they need to go through customs, Ukrainian customs, Russian customs. It's a long line there on the border.
Despite being separated by a border and occupied by military authorities, Pastor Navrotsky says churches within his synod in Crimea want to stay united with the parent synod.
But our churches in Crimea, they still connected with our synods, and they doesn't like to organize a new synod. They want to be in Ukrainian synods.
The Russians are imposing some restrictions on churches in Crimea. Pastor Navrotsky says that Moscow is demanding all churches register with them.
The situation is next. According to new laws of Russian Federation in Crimea, all religious community need to go through new registration according to Russian laws.
Until the registration process is completed and accepted by Russian authorities, Ukrainian Lutherans are forbidden from any missionary work outside of existing church buildings.
Right now, our Lutheran churches cannot do any mission ministry outside of the building. I speak about Crimea.
Although Russia has no official religion, the Russian Orthodox Church is recognized as having a special place in Russian society. The status is making it difficult for other religions in Crimea, such as Protestant, Roman Catholic, or Greek Orthodox, not to mention non-Christian faiths.
So it seems like it's quite a difficult situation right now in Crimea for people who do not belong to Russian Orthodox Church.
There is a Russian Lutheran Church unaffiliated with the Ukrainian Lutherans. Pastor Navrotsky says the Russian Lutheran Church recently extended a greeting to the Ukrainian Synod, but no official relations are taking place between the two church bodies.
I talked to our new elected bishop, Alexander Yurchenko, and he told me that he got greetings from Russian Lutherans. I think it's just first contact with Russian Lutheran Church. But by now, we had no any connection with Lutherans in Russia.
It is a sad fact of war that co-religionists often find themselves on opposite sides. We in the United States have had similar experience, starting with our own revolution. The Ukrainian church is trying to reach out to those on both sides of the conflict and provide succor to all those in need.
We are trying to start dialogue between people who belong to a different various sides. And besides that, secondly, our churches in Ukraine, they care for people who suffer from fear, anger, loss, and depression right now.
The human toll of the war in Ukraine is horrific. The fighting's killed thousands, and many times that number are displaced.
According to present statistic, we have about 10,000 people died in a battle on the east side of Ukraine, and up to 1 million people moved from Crimea and from Donetsk region to the west and central side of Ukraine. So a lot of people had moved
Christian churches, including Lutherans in Ukraine, are doing what they can to help the injured and homeless.
And many churches provide financial support and humanitarian aid to refugees and refuge camps, and medical care for wounded soldiers at hospitals.
Ukraine became free when the Soviet Union collapsed and communism died back in 1991. It was a peaceful separation, but Pastor Dvoretsky says his country is now paying a price for its freedom.
I think that Ukraine became independent from Soviet Union in 1991 without any blood. And now Ukrainian nation is paying the price for independence.
He believes that corruption and sin led to the current conflict. Lutherans oppose corruption in all forms that make such violence possible.
Lutherans stand against corruption and social injustice, the same against rebellions and revolutions caused by corruption.
Despite the ongoing bloodshed, Pastor Dvoretsky says he's hopeful for his country and church's future.
You know, I believe that our Lord, in the midst of suffering of our nation, and he will lead Ukrainian churches through all troubles, and I believe that God will provide the church with all it requires.
The Bible assures us that all things are possible with God. His church in Ukraine remains faithful to his message. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.